the one word that keeps coming into my head to describe the time we're living in, right at this moment anyway, is the word hysteria. I sort of see it everywhere I look. A kind of what you might call excited or frightened response to everything. Hyper frightened or hyper active. Hyper excited. And kind of the positive and the negative manifestation of that. The positive manifestation is one becomes very energetic. The negative is that much of that energy is driven by fear and a kind of underlying anxiety. I saw the front page of Variety today, the weekly edition, and it was basically talking about the hysteria of the networks, because their bottom line is so important and they're trying to figure out how do they get the attention of the country. How do they get the attention of these multi-millions of people? Because their survival depends on it. What kind of shows do they put on to captivate the world? And they don't know. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out how to survive, and their survival is entertaining people to the hilt. And so they're working like mad in a state of frenzy, trying to get your attention. And anybody who is looking at television, looking at advertising or anything else, realizes that there is a barrage of noise out there trying to get your attention. And it's not just television. It's every entertainment form there is trying to draw you into their sphere, because they feed off of your attention, they feed off of your energy, and they're making a lot of noise, because right now everybody is noisy and the noisiest one gets your attention. So when the noise level rises to the level of intensity that we are experiencing in the culture right now, we find ourselves caught by it, because it is so demanding. And where does your mind go? It goes to the loudest noise, or to the squeaky wheel, if you will, the thing that is making the most sort of discordant appeal to you, or the most harmonious appeal to you, or the sense that somehow or another your attention is everything, and so it's going to grab it. And it's really interesting to see the kinds of shows that are being put on, the otherworldly shows, the shows of fantasy, the shows of, you know, supernatural heroes, the shows that have to do very little with the real world. And then there's the fantasies of all of the game shows that are trying to give away what used to be $1 million, now is $10 million, for you to second guess other people, and the fantasy of winning all of that money and suddenly having that money change your life and give you happiness or whatever you think you need. There's the incredible hysteria of the war in Iraq and of the political arena that we're living in right now, and all of these guys fighting for your attention and ultimately your vote that hope change the nature and the course of events. There's the hysteria of a world out of balance, and the global warming, and the idea that the planet is in a state of upheaval, and we are all somehow caught by that. And there's this urgency, I think, in many people to think of, where do I go to escape all of this? And of course, the incredible part of the hysteria is there is nowhere to go. Clearly, where can you go? What climate zone do you go to escape the warming or the rainstorms or the turmoil that you think is coming? How do you second guess the maps that say it's going to be colder here and warmer here? There's no escape. There's truly no escape from the hysteria of the world other than, and you know where I'm going, sitting still and observing the hysteria. You are either, as Rudy would say, above it or below it. You're either caught in the hysteria or you are in observation of it. I have to say, being a human being who is reading the New York Times every day and watching television and doing all the things that everybody else does, that I am just as prone to being sucked into the hysteria as everybody in this room. Maybe some of you are better at not doing it than I am. The great thing about it is that if you can recognize what it is and let go, the letting go of your attachment to that hysteria, especially on the scale that it is now appearing in our lives, that letting go is that much more powerful. It's that much more of a release. It is that much more of a gift to yourself. There are those of us who will let go occasionally. When it gets too hot, too difficult, too weird, you'll just go, okay, now let me just let go. And then there are those of us who will develop an even greater muscle, if you will, of walking through the world, conscious of the hysteria, conscious of the need for spectacle and drama that the world seems to have right now, and just walk through it in a state of deep awareness. You may feel it coming after you. You may feel it starting to do things to your intestines and to your mind, to your mental state. You may find it trying to attack you on 1,000 different levels. And you can even watch it do that. But you just sit there and go, huh. In truth, it's a choice. And Rudy said from day one, that the one thing spiritual work gives you is choice. And the choice is, although often you don't feel you can make this choice, do I get sucked up into the hysteria of the times, or do I not? And the way you make that choice is with a muscle. And the muscle is, where do you put your attention? Do you put your attention on the noise, which is calling for your attention in a huge way? Or do you say no, and you put your attention on this inner space of surrender? Surrender, remember, is not fighting the hysteria, it's acknowledging it. It's saying, I get it. It's touching it. It's knowing it. But it is not being subsumed by it. It is simply being one with it. This is what it is. This is the vibration of the society and the culture in this moment. Is this a unique moment? You know, I think a lot of people think this is unique. In the history of the world, this level of hysteria, this potential for worldwide destruction, which I think grabs a lot of people. I have had any number of apocalyptic dreams in recent times, which are very scary and very demanding of my attention, and I think are not unique to me. You look at all of this and you think this is a picture of the world in a very unique time. But in truth, if you really think about it, the world has never really been much different than this, really. If you think of it in the terms of local tribal environment, any local tribe which did not know the world, did not know how big the world was, lived in the same kind of state that most of us live in, which is anything can happen at any time. The warring tribe from next door can come over and do you in at any moment. Weather was a complete and endless unknown. You had no idea whether your crops were going to make it or not, in which case whether you would live or not. There was a kind of, if you will, permanent inner hysteria. And that hysteria was based on this incredible not knowing what was going to be, and being in an endless state of threat by life. And that created a kind of living condition. It was, in many ways, and is in many ways, the human condition. What allows us to rise above this sense of threat and personal danger, which is in a way falsely sort of eliminated from our lives for much of the time by our distractions in the entertainment world, our distractions in the fact that our moment-to-moment life often seems much more safe than it truly is, that we start to live this life of denial that life is really, in its own way, dangerous and going to destroy us. Ultimately, in truth, it is going to kill you. Hard fact for everybody, and nobody really wants to live with that fact. So out of that deep sense of I cannot bear the hysteria and the fear of my life, something tends to arise in almost every culture, which is another way of looking at this thing. And it's a really fascinating thing. It really is the beginning of the spiritual awakening. That there is something deeper and more profound than this hysterical fear and drama that people live with. And that if you are willing to sit still, if you are willing to look at the very thing you're afraid of, if you're willing to go, in this title of a recent movie, Into the Wild, which doesn't necessarily mean into Alaska. The wild is walking out the door if you're truly aware of life. The wild is always in front of you. It may appear not to be wild, but trust me, it's wild. If you're willing to go into the wild of your own life, if you're willing to accept, look at, and embrace the truth and the extraordinary power of human experience, what you start to acknowledge finally is that you are connected to something very large, very great, and when you really look it right in the eye, it looks you back, and you see life. You see truth. You see something extraordinary, and that extraordinary thing is that there is no real separation between you and it. You are the very life you see. You are this dramatic powerhouse of transformation and change. You are this endless force of undulating energy. And when you stop fighting that energy, which is not easy to do, it goes against everything in us that wants to run, hide, and protect. But once you stop fighting and being fearful of this thing, something else starts to happen. It is a kind of dance in which you are now in sync. And when you are in sync, the movement has beauty, it has symmetry, it has harmony, it has a kind of singularity that is delicious, beautiful, purposeful, and full of wonder. We are, as spiritual beings, trying to make sense of, or find peace with, or oneness with what is. And the urgency of that is heightened by hysteria. So hysteria is not a bad thing. Fear of the world is not a bad thing unless you live under it completely. Then it's not even a bad thing, it's just awfully unpleasant. Awfully uncomfortable. But once you start to sit still and truly face this dynamic powerhouse of existence and just go, you don't even have to say the word yes, you just open. You surrender. You take it whole. Rudy always talked about you take the whole package. You don't cherry pick the parts of life you wish to surrender to. You take the whole thing in You breathe it in and you just go, yes. It's a deeply, deeply demanding and powerful choice. And not everybody wants to make that choice. A lot of us want to do the ostrich routine. Stick your head in the sand, everything is okay, no problem. Find your place that you buy your way out of all of this drama. And then in the end you realize, of course, that there's no way out. You can't buy your way out of it. It comes after you. Of course it comes after you, because the one thing you fear most is inevitable. It is the annihilation of who you are, as you know yourself. That's what comes after you. You are going to be completely annihilated. Nobody wants to know that. Nobody wants to think about that. But it's the truth. And so what's really fascinating is when you sit in this incredible stillness and you look at life with this enormous compassion, openness, with this great depth of existence, what happens is you start to fall away. Your name, your history, your personality, your future needs, it just kind of falls away. For the time that you sit in this meditative state, if you will, in this state of embracing what is, including the darkness as well as the light, as soon as you do that, you fall away. So then, when you fall away, what's there? But that's the discovery. That's the discovery for every human being. When it falls away, you fall away, there is just being. That doesn't seem to fall away at all. But it doesn't have your name on it. It doesn't have your particular stamp on it. It's universal and vast. And that vastness is there. So the very annihilation that you are fearing is in fact already occurring. Because the you that falls away is the annihilation. Now, this sounds interesting, I think, in some ways in the abstract. I go, okay, I'll let me fall away and then I'll just be there, and okay. And I have to tell you, I don't think it's a completely painless, pretty experience. I really do believe as you get closer and closer to the maws of true annihilation, the experience is pretty heavy, pretty dark, pretty complete. It is, somebody once called it obscene. It's so deeply terrifying to one's last fragment of ego. And every one of us is going to go through that. Everyone is going to go through that confrontation at some point in time. There is no avoiding it. That confrontation can take on any number of characteristics. It can just be like blowing out of a candle. It can be like jumping off a bridge. It can be like being chopped into a million pieces. And it can be like going to sleep. Who knows? Who knows what it will be? But all I can tell you is it will be what it needs to be for you. And what you need to be able to do at that confrontation in your life is to be as practiced in your surrender, as available to saying yes as you've ever been in your whole life. If you have a practice of going yes, yes, yes to this letting go, to this surrender, you will continue that into the last millisecond of existence. And that is really the work. The reason you do that work now and you don't wait to that last millisecond is because the training is so remarkable, and the experience of letting go now gives you a life that is truly worth living. That's the value. It's not about future. It's not about how you greet the end. Greeting the end is how you greet this moment. Truly, that is the training ground. How do you greet the hysteria of this moment? And this moment, of course, keeps changing. Every time you get up in the morning, every time you get in the car, you turn on the radio, whatever, it's always different. It's changing and changing and changing and changing. So you can't have necessarily one blanket response to all that. Some people can, perhaps, but most of us need to do something else, which is consciously surrendering moment to moment to moment to moment. Being aware of the change and going, yes. Does it have to be a dramatic thing? No. It can be as simple as going, really, that's all it has to be. But it has to happen. And it has to happen consciously, because if it happens unconsciously, then if you live unconsciously, it won't happen. It really only happens consciously. It only happens because you choose to go yes. Living an unconscious life has no capacity for saying yes in a meaningful way. It's just an animalistic yes. But a real conscious yes is what human awakening is about. It's what we're here to do. We are here to go yes to God, yes to what is. And boy, does that take every muscle and every ounce of energy and every bit of courage you can summon. I have to say, as I sit here with you, the great joy for me, truly, is sitting in this class and looking at everybody in this room and sensing, how can I say, the development of warriors. The development of people able and ready to greet this, not necessarily with a lot of can I say joy? Sometimes it isn't so joyful. Sometimes what comes is pretty difficult. But I sense in everybody in this room a capacity that is growing and emerging, that is a gift to yourselves, and I really believe a gift to the people who will be around you. And I think that's the crucial thing in these days, because in truth, people who are hysterical are desperate to be around somebody who is not. They're desperate to be around somebody who can just touch them and go, it's okay. It's okay. It's going to be fine. That's what people want and need. Just some respite from their own drama. And each of us has the capacity to give that. And we'll be called upon to give that. I guarantee you. Life is going to, it's like we're all in the popcorn popper. And it's going, it's just going faster and faster right now. And all of us are getting popped or watching people get popped. And it's a pretty dramatic thing. But ultimately, it's what's meant to be. So enjoy getting popped. And sit back as deeply as you can and observe this process, because you're in the frying pan. And it's going on. None of you are without the skills needed to ride this out. None of you. So, enjoy. Any questions about this, Josh?
The best form of hysteria is, for me, my excitement about my own ideas. And I get a lot of forward movement and energy from the excitement of my own ideas. But I also know, I mean, you know, when I work, you know, there's often two things that I'll ask for. Please help me to let go of fear. Please help me to let go of desire. And I find, you know, that desire for these ideas to grow and to generate and to be loved, you know, really, really pushes me forward. How do I find a balance between using the energy of that excitement, of that hysterical excitement, in a sense, and using, you know, a balance between that and letting go of it?
Well, letting go of it, you know, is really letting go of your attachment and resistance. When that excitement is happening, the best thing to do is serve it. And it, you know, it can do one of two things. Hysteria released becomes what you're talking about. Excitement, development, energy flow, it becomes very powerful. Hysteria resisted becomes terror for people. It's a, you know, really deep, deep down terror. And trying to find the way to say yes to that much energy, which is really what it is. It's the pot's burning. It's boiling. It's starting to boil. What do you do when it's boiling? Get in there and move. You know, that's what it wants to do. Or you sit there and go, you know, I'm dying here, you know. And give in. Give in to not the resistance to it and the fear of it, give into the dynamic of it, which is big change, big transformation, big response to life. And at the same time, find within yourself this place of simplicity that keeps going, yes. Because we're in this. We're in this. You can't pretend you're not here. You can't pretend you're not in this world or this universe. This is a real thing that's going on in our lives, and it has content, value, meaning, substance, if you engage it in this really deep and yes way. If you go, I can't handle it, it's too much, I'm not ready, da 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 da, it's just pure suffering, which is what it is for many people. And you know, even people who are dancing as fast as they can, it's sometimes a kind of suffering, but it's also, it's a huge use of energy, and the universe is bubbling for a reason. This is all going on. It wants something from all of us. So give it. Give it as best you can. And what it does really in the end is grows you. One of the words I would use to describe what I'm feeling in this room is that, and with you, I've spoken to you about this, and Michael, I've talked about it. People are growing up. That's what I'm feeling. People are growing up. Growing up means finally taking responsibility for what is, for the intensity of what is. And it only gets more intense and in many ways more difficult, especially toward the end of the ride, where things are being taken away rather than given. That's some pretty heavy-duty stuff. And, you know, I'm sort of approaching that. Bo and Carmen are approaching those, you know, those of us who are getting older experience a very powerful dissolution. Dissolution has as much hysteria and energy in it as growth. And in a way, it's still a kind of growth, but it truly is a spiritual growth. Finally, all of these years of effort that we're doing comes into, can I truly let go? Can I truly let go of everything that I have accomplished, everything that I have obtained? Because that's finally what happens. You have to let it go. Everything you care about, everything you love, you have to go goodbye. It's really intense stuff. If you want to know real work, it's not gathering and getting, it's letting go. And that's what Rudy said. The muscle of surrender is the muscle of letting go, not the muscle of attainment. It's the muscle of surrender. So, you know, do whatever dance you've got. Your dance right now is the accumulation dance. It's the energy of doing and functioning, and that's all great. You know, it's all middle-aged dance, and every one of us in the middle of our lives hopefully does that well. You know, and I mean, not everybody does, unfortunately. A lot of people fight it then, which causes more problems down the road. But if you just give in to the fullness of the demand, you a lot happens in your life. Then in the end, the fullness of the demand is exactly the opposite. Let it all go. Literally, let it go. And either you're going to be letting it go piece by piece, or they're going to go, now, done. You know, and when you get to now, done, if you don't have a muscle that says, okay, you are stuck with a lot of stuff to let go of and no mechanism for doing it. So the universe has a process. It's called the bardo state, you know, in Tibetan Buddhism, of taking it all away. And there you are as this conscious entity, which is what we are, watching it all being removed. Most people don't do that very graciously. You know, it's very hellish experience. But for those people in a spiritual mode in their physical life, this letting go bit by bit by bit is the greatest thing possible. Because when the final moment comes to truly let go, there's hardly anything, if anything at all, to let go of. And for those few truly enlightened beings, they've already taken care of it. They did it long before they left the world. But that's very few people. You know, how many Einsteins are there? How many Buddhas are there? You know, 10 out of the billions of people? So don't walk around thinking you have to be one of the enlightened ones, but you can be one of the ones who is living a conscious life, which means not fighting the accumulation and not fighting the surrender of letting go. That is essential to the human progress of the soul, of your own journey. And that's what we're here to do. You know, really, the journey into the wild does not end with going to Alaska. You know, had that young man in that movie, in that book, lived, he would have gone, he would have been sitting here, we'd be talking about, now what? You know, I've been on that journey, I've been to Alaska. You know, now how do you live the life of going to work every day? That's into the wild too. Trust me, it's got. As you're going to know tomorrow, you know, the wild is everywhere around us. It's called life. Any other questions?
Are there certain areas of your life that they make you grow? Just in that area, or they make you grow all of them?
Anything that makes you grow impacts the entire plant. You know, when growth happens, the whole, you know, if you look at a flower, you look at a tree, you know, mostly the whole thing is affected in some symmetrical way. Most trees, you know, grow in all directions simultaneously. It's the same growth spurt. A few grow a little bit imbalanced. If the wind is coming, they become lopsided. You know, there's a lot of external forces as well as internal forces that sort of affect our growth. But mostly it's for the whole plant. But sometimes one area really needs to be stimulated for the rest of the plant to grow. And I think you're aware of that area in yourself. But it is impacting the whole. It's deeply impacting your sit today, I can tell you that. And if you keep that kind of thing flowering, you know, the whole of you grows. It's a process because the part that doesn't want to grow, the part of us that's in most resistance, is of course the greatest gift to us, because once that grows, everything grows. And the part of you that doesn't want to grow will be the source of your pain. It's always where the pain is. The pain is a resistance. The pain is the tension. It's what says no. And so when you feel the thing saying no, that's where all of the energy ultimately needs to go. And in a way, it cannot not go there, because your mind and your senses are drawn to pain. You know, you're trying to avoid it, but it's there. It's constantly informing you. If you go, well, what is this pain? And you go there and you open to it, it's the very thing you need to transform.
Putting your attention on that.
Just observing it. And it will start to instruct you and turn your life around, if you have the courage to do that. Of course, it's painful. But it's only painful because you were resisting it. And the minute you open to it, it's a surge of energy and transformation. And if you don't resist that surge and that enormous new growth spurt that's happening in you, it's remarkable. You become, I mean, how do you become an oak tree from an acorn? It ain't easy. You know, it's not like, oh, okay, now I'll become an oak tree. It's constant. Bigness, growth, giving in to this enormous force called life, which happens to be surging through you right now, and which you and all of us have very smart ways of avoiding in particular areas. The real deformity of a plant and of a human being is in the avoidance. That's where we fail, by not giving us over to the very thing that wants to be. So, you know, it's a really interesting thing. You can literally watch people walk down the street, if you're open to it, and see where they haven't grown, where they're deformed, where they're not, where it hasn't happened in them. How they carry themselves, how they sit with you, how they talk to you, how they walk, it's all there. Every person is the full book of what they have and haven't done. And we all have stuff we haven't done, and we all have stuff we have, and we all are going to have demands that are going to make these changes in us forever, until we're not here anymore, and maybe beyond that. I don't know that this ends.
Well, I'm also curious about if you, let's say, you're growing in your career, or you're growing in your relationship, or you're growing in this area or that area. Does one area where you, if you grow in one area, does that go over to the next area?
It impacts the next area. It impacts it. You have to, if your career is growing really fast, everybody around you is going to look at you differently and relate to you differently, and you're going to have to deal with that. You can't just go, well, it's my career. I mean, I've watched people do that. Their careers grow really fast, and all of their personal life gets in disarray because they haven't taken any attention and given it to the rest of the plant. They're suddenly losing all of that. Or I've seen people give all their life to their family and avoid the career part, so their family now suddenly is struggling because there's not enough coming through the career. So you have to keep all of the parts working, and that's part of being conscious. You know, Rudy used to describe the guy, the juggler with all these thousands of balls in the air, or the guys who are spinning those little plates, you know, and going from one to the other. That's what we're doing. We're keeping all of these things going, but ultimately it's done with such beauty and simplicity that it's like boom, 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 boom. You just know what to do. It's all going on. You know? But if you just got one going and 40 falling down, it's a bad act. You know? Nobody applauds at the end of that one. Anyone else?
I feel like I really struggle with what you were talking about, letting go of hysteria and fear, and I feel that in my life right now, you know, I'm trying to become a provider for my family, and I never really focused that hard on trying to make more money. At the same time, you know, I feel I don't have to watch TV to see just insanity and my reaction to it. And like the other day, I was taking the bus because my car wasn't working, and there was a woman on the bus who she was gonna die. I mean, she smelled so bad that nobody could sit near her, and she had, and you couldn't, well, I couldn't see if she was a man or a woman at first. She had dirt on her face, and she had an open wound on her lip that was just oozing, and you could see that everything was swollen, and I just can't get that image out of my mind, and I struggle all the time with how can I concentrate so hard on making money and stop reacting to these people that are just completely being ignored. And I just struggle with that so much that it consumes me.
Right, well, you know, you can choose to be consumed by that if you want to. It really is a choice. Life will present you a lot of things that you don't want to see. Life is not pretty in a lot of ways. It can be beautiful and it can be ugly, and it really is yin yang, and you really will be presented with a lot of things. If you want to be consumed by that, if you want to be caught in the hysteria of that, which is what most people choose to do, then that's fine, but it leaves you in a terribly, terribly distraught state, and it's very hard to get through the day. Very hard to live. You can justify it, which people do, saying, oh God, there's so much suffering, and I have to suffer, and I have to worry, and you know, there's people who are just consumed by worry about all the horrible things that are going on in the world. You don't have to be that. You have a choice, spiritually, not to be that. And in truth, if you truly want to be of service to the world, rather than getting up and trying to help that person who's already committed to their death, get off the bus and go to a hospital or whatever, you find this unbelievably deep well of compassion in yourself for her, for the whole of humanity, and you find this deep peace in yourself because it is really within you, and you present that through your life to everyone you know. And what it does is you walk through the door of your next job, as you walk through the door of your family and your child, when you are there to take care of what's available, it is done with love and openness and compassion, and you take care of your life because it is the life that is in front of you. And there is no, the other life isn't in front of you. I mean, that woman was in front of you, and she was there to offer you an image and possibly an opportunity to do something. But is it really meaningful? Is it really something you can do to stop the bus and take her off? You have to go to work, you have your child, you have all these demands. Is it really your job to take this person? You can choose to make it that, but that's a really big commitment, and I'm not sure it's what you're supposed to be doing. I think her job was to alert you to what life is and to what you can do to wake up to that. I think that's the role she played. I have, I live in New York City much of the time. I see what you're talking about on a fairly regular basis. Life is hard. Read the newspaper, what's going on in Iraq. If you were to walk out on the streets of Iraq, what would you do? You would have a full-time life being the Mother Teresa of Iraq, and they would probably behead you for trying it. Is that going to serve anything, anyone? I don't, you can do it. Rudy said, if that's what you want to do, give everything to that. You know, give everything to that. Otherwise, give everything to what is yours in the moment.
Do you think that I'm just indulging in guilt?
Possibly.
By thinking all the time, thinking about how selfish I am to be
That's your mind.
Wanting to be middle class when most of the world is so desperate, is that, am I just engaging in guilt by thinking those thoughts all the time?
I think the mind can take us in a million different directions. It can create great sense of aggrandizement and feeling that we're the best thing in the world or we're the worst thing in the world. The mind can do all sorts of things to us all the time. It's an endless motion trying to make us feel better than or worse than something else. It is the way that it keeps us motivated on some level. If you want to become seduced by your mind and its hold over your sense of who you are, it will play many games, and that will be one of them. If you want to give yourself into the give over to the guilt, that's fine. But what I'm talking about is a different approach to living, which is watch that process. Watch your mind doing that. Watch its hunger to keep you struggling. It's really fascinating. It's a very demanding thing, the human mind, the ego sense. It's there for a reason. The reason? It makes the world work. If all of us stopped paying attention to the mind, this world would become so other than what we know right now. But the mind keeps the world going. The positive-negative flow, the hunger, the fear, the desire, the hatred, all of these things work to keep the show of human life going. We're in it. The whole idea of spiritual life is to look at it through a different lens, to see it for what it is, and to begin to step back and go, I see it, I get it, I surrender my reaction to it, I surrender my fear of it, I surrender my hatred, I surrender my desire, I just open and exist, and I am. You find this, I am. It's a powerful, powerful way of living this life without being caught by all of the forces that can suck you under. And they are numerous, they are out there day and night trying to do that. I'm not trying to make them negative forces, but they are life forces that keep this thing in motion. It may not be the way we want it, but it is the way it appears to be. So how do you react to that? I'm giving you an approach. The spiritual approach is not my own. Clearly it's been around for millennia, perhaps from the beginning of time, which is to just sit back quietly and observe the extraordinary presentation of human existence. And then it's up to you. I told Rudy once, Rudy, I'm so confused by all this. He said, Bruce, you choose to be confused. And that's when I understood the power of my choice. And in a way, it's the power of your choice.
So there's a choice to be not confused?
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Mm. And it's your choice.
Sorry,
it's okay.
I was just thinking, I was confused by the notion of what you see outside is supposedly a reflection of you, or, I mean, I don't know what
how you see it. Not what you see.
It's how you see
how it. How you see it is the reflection. What you see is what you see, but how you see it is everything. You know, there are people, you see the same thing, you know, but you look at it through one lens and it's the worst thing you've ever seen. You look at it through another and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And everybody has a different little lens thing going on inside them that's telling them what the world is. And it's your own personal little story based on your parents telling you things and your teachers and your friends and who you think you are and how you play out in the world. You know, there's this discovery that happens when you're like 6 years old, like you're different than other people. And that difference is perceived either as a good thing or a bad thing. And you build up a whole complex of identity. And that identity becomes the scrim through which you observe life. And how do you get rid of that scrim? Well, you start to simply surrender the mind, which is doing a very interesting thing. It is keeping that scrim going all day long. That's what it does. It's constantly reinforcing. Whenever you go, I am tired, I am confused, I am unhappy, I'm happy, I am this, I am that, it's reinforcing who you are. Stop it for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or an hour, and what happens? The scrim comes down and there's just it. There it is. And you go, huh. And the thing that you really get when you see it, that really comes through when your own scrim comes down, is a sense of awe. Just awe. It's like, even the horror, even the darkness. It's like, it's so, just the fact that it exists and that it is and that it has come into being, just the fact that we have consciousness of it, just the fact that there is anything at all becomes full of awe and wonder and mystery. And there is no lens making that your vision. It is just direct perception of what is. And it is overwhelming to the body and the mind, and it is joy to the soul. Okay? You exhausted? Okay. Thank you guys very much. There will be class next Sunday, for the next three Sundays. We'll do brunch, but I don't know if anybody really wants brunch. So it becomes an issue. Don't know how to work this one out. Let's say we'll do brunch today and we'll do brunch next weekend. And if people don't come to stay, we'll just eliminate brunch because we don't need to do that. And we'll just take it from there. So next weekend there will be a brunch, and then we'll go to after that. Oops. Yeah, there's a sign-up sheet downstairs for anybody who can help bring stuff next weekend. And if nobody signs up, then there really won't be a brunch. Thank you guys very much for coming.